Thank you, conference. Let me add my welcome to all of you. Isn't it really great to be back with a party that is bigger, more enthusiastic, and more determined than ever to make a change to Northern Ireland in the months ahead? And let me start with my word of thanks to Naomi, a particular word of thanks to our deputy leader, not just for that cheeky introduction, but for all that she has done for this party, all she's done for Alliance over the years, and for what she's done for Northern Ireland. 5 years as our first ever elected Member of Parliament in the House of Commons. A lone voice, but there she worked tirelessly for East Belfast, and single-handedly she was the person who tightened up the rules on party funding. She stood for election to Westminster with a clear manifesto, and with determination, skill and style, she delivered on every single commitment that she made. Is it any wonder that so many more people in East Belfast wanted her back in Westminster for another term? So the affection and the respect which we have for Naomi was shown by the massive effort that Alliance members, and indeed many others, put into the campaign in East Belfast last year. A massive effort devoted to keeping Northern Ireland moving forward. And it succeeded. True, Naomi's no longer an MP, but after the flag protests, the insults, the threats, the violence, Naomi added 4,000 votes to what we had been told was the high watermark of 2010. And only a cynical five-party pact between parties which have actually been tearing lumps out of each other ever since polling day managed to scrabble together enough votes to unseat Naomi, and even then they couldn't get 50% of the vote in a constituency supposedly as unionist as East Belfast. And do I need to remind anybody of that graceless, personally insulting speech that the new MP made at the election count? Well, let's just say this. I'm looking forward to the Assembly election at the start of another 5 long years. More long service. Long service to the people of East Belfast. More long leadership in the Assembly. More long work to transform Northern Ireland. Many more long years. Welcome back to the Assembly team, Naomi. And as has been said, at the same time as that extraordinary increase in our support in East Belfast, and despite our concentration there, we put up the Alliance vote in every one of the 18 constituencies, another election in which the movement for change grew. In council elections, our vote up by 50% in 2011 and again in 2014, despite all the predictions to the contrary. Our best ever European result in 2014. In the Assembly elections of 2007 and 2011, an increase in votes and in seats. All because of the hard work of people in this room, leading change, communicating our vision, delivering an office, knocking doors, recruiting members, and convincing voters that Alliance is the best way to deliver a radically different Northern Ireland. Whatever part you have played, you should be proud of it. Proud that you're part of building an alternative politics, proud that you've helped make Northern Ireland a better place, and proud that you're making an even better future for future generations. Be proud of yourselves, conference, because I am proud of you. And now we move into the final few weeks of an Assembly term and the final months of a 3-year cycle of elections. In the Assembly that's drawing to a close, we have faced many challenges and will face many more in the next Assembly. That starts with the challenge of ensuring enough Alliance MLAs are elected to ensure that we retain a seat in the smaller executive. Remember last time Stephen Farry became a minister because of both an extra seat and extra votes across Northern Ireland. In Assembly elections, it really is the case that every vote can count, whether in East Belfast or Fermanagh, North Antrim or South Down. But winning more Alliance seats and ensuring an Alliance minister is only a prelude to putting Alliance principles into practice, to getting away from stop, go, pause, rewind politics, and we've had far too much of that recently. In particular, through 3 long autumns of talks, we've seen so-called political leaders fail time and again to deliver the significant, important changes that this society needs. Those parties charged with leading our executive and the political process have held us back, dithering and disagreeing, protecting their own votes at the expense of progress, mismanaging public finances for short-term gain. perhaps worst of all, preventing us from dealing with the past in a way that will allow us to move into the future. Recently, the Secretary of State said that she was disappointed at the outcome of the so-called Fresh Start of last November. She's disappointed? How does she think that we feel? And if she's disappointed, why did she sign off on it? Of course, in any agreement, not everyone gets all they want. Compromise requires give and take. But when it comes to victims and survivors, all parties should have been prepared to give, and the two governments should have insisted on that. We told the Secretary of State time and again that we wouldn't sign up to an agreement that, again, left victims and survivors to the side, and nor should the UK government. We told her that she had the leverage to secure a genuinely comprehensive agreement, but when a deal seemed easier to secure by ignoring victims, she blinked. I described the so-called fresh start as a false dawn for victims. I'm amused but pleased that a number of journalists have repeated the phrase, but I'm anything but pleased that it's true. Those who expected something for victims and survivors have been let down yet again. Shame on those who let them down, the two governments, Sinn Féin and the DUP. Our position is simple, clear and resolute. Deal with the past or there is no deal. If only others had been as resolute. And how sad that Arlene Foster, as one of her first comments when she became DUP leader, said that we couldn't deal with the past before the election. She was effectively saying that electoral politics comes first, that dealing with the past requires leadership, and she and others weren't prepared to show leadership in case it cost them votes. Party first, victim second. Well, so much for that kind of leadership. The false dawn exposed this, and it demonstrated once again that Alliance's role is not, as some people think, to sign up to any agreement that Unionist and Nationalist parties can stomach, however low their common denominator may be. Yes, we will compromise where it serves Northern Ireland to do so, when it helps to move us forward, when it helps to make things better. But we won't compromise when it holds Northern Ireland back. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, we are not a split-the-difference party, whose vision is limited to whatever might keep both Unionists and Nationalists happy at any given moment. Too often, that's what the political process has amounted to, and far too often, that's what governments have done. Too often, that has blocked real change. No, we are a party with an entirely different vision for Northern Ireland, our own vision, and we're committed to tirelessly and determinedly working to make that vision a reality. I've made it clear, both publicly and in private meetings, that the government has a duty to fund the issues of the past. The Prime Minister agreed to this in late 2014. The Treasury has earmarked £150 million for legacy issues. The judiciary has given a lead through the excellent work of the Lord Chief Justice and Lord Justice Weir. There can be no excuse for the government not funding work on legacy issues. Their current stance is merely punishing the justice system for the failings of others, and those others include the Northern Ireland Office. In stark contrast to the failures in some areas, let's look at some of the things that have been done, some of the big issues that have been tackled, but tackled by Alliance ministers. I've now been Minister of Justice for nearly 6 years. I can honestly say that there's been more fundamental reform to the justice system in these 6 years than in the preceding 16 or possibly 26 years. All has been around the concept of building a safer community and a shared community. Sadly, we learnt on the streets of the Craigie Road yesterday that not everyone accepts that. We know that some people are still trying to drag this society back. They seem more wedded to some form of struggle than to any possible outcome. And we must ensure that we have a united community that stands against them. But we should also, conference, never forget the debt that we owe to a particular group of public servants who wear the uniform of the prison service and of the police service. But despite those difficulties, let's look at what has happened in recent years. Public confidence in the fairness of the justice system, up. Confidence in the PSNI, up. Victims placed at the heart of the justice system and their satisfaction with how the system deals with them, up. Rates of offending, down. The number of first-time entrants into the justice system, down. the proportion of our young people involved with the youth justice services, down. Processing times for youth conferences, delays in youth courts and magistrates' courts, down. The number of interface structures that divide our community, down. Can I repeat that one? Under an Alliance Minister, the number of interface structures, unlike under a Northern Ireland Office Minister, the number is going down and will continue to go down. Millions of pounds has been seized from criminals and diverted to the community. We have new laws to tackle sexual crimes, fuel laundering and animal cruelty. The legal aid system's reformed. And these are only the short-term outcomes. Much of the reform agenda that I've implemented has been of a foundational nature, with outcomes to be delivered in the years ahead. Hyde Bank College, formerly the Young Offender Centre, is the first example of a secure college in the country, with over 90% of the residents, inmates, students, lads, whatever we call them, now engaged in accredited courses which will integrate them with the society that they will go out into. While credit is due, much credit is due to staff from the prison service and for the staff of Belfast Metropolitan College. The plaque at the front door names two ministers who provided the leadership, Stephen Farry and David Ford. Two Alliance ministers leading change together. Meanwhile, in just 5 years in the Department for Employment and Learning, Stephen Farry has delivered a new strategy to radically transform apprenticeship opportunities. He's assisted thousands of people to find sustainable employment. He's delivered new investments to build our base in science and the knowledge economy, to name just a few of his achievements. He's done far more than I could possibly do justice to in a single speech. The shift that Stephen has engineered towards upskilling the workforce of today and tomorrow will bear fruit for many years to come. The strength of his ministerial leadership has taken that department from languishing on the margins of the executive to front and centre, and the new Department of the Economy is being built on blueprints that he drew up years ago and has advocated tirelessly since. If you want to know what forward, faster, better, sooner looks like, then just look at Stephen's record as minister. Of course, if you do work 18-hour days every day, it's kind of easy. Few of you have had the opportunity to see Stephen in action at the executive table, in his department, or in the Assembly, but he brings his intellect and his commitment to every task that falls to him. I remember what it was like sitting at the executive table as the sole Alliance Minister. Stephen's arrival made a huge difference, supporting me in putting the case for reform, leading, delivering, and ensuring that we moved forward faster. This party owes Stephen a massive debt. So, conference, while Stephen and I are standing again at the May election, three of our colleagues will be stepping down. Anna Lowe was first elected in 2007 when she stormed into a seat in South Belfast and told the world that Northern Ireland had become a diverse society and politics needs to change too. In this assembly, she's chaired the Environment Committee, she strengthened our links with the voluntary sector, and she personally amended the Marine Act to ensure that environmental concerns are central to the way our marine environment is managed. Alliance moving faster forward. Judith Cochran. Judith Cochran has been a Castlereagh councillor, and there are those who know that that is significant of itself. And she gained our second seat in East Belfast in 2011. She's used her talents and her knowledge to represent us on the Assembly Commission, dealing with everything from finances to flags, and is close to seeing her private member's bill on stadium licensing pass its final stage. Alliance moving forward faster. I'm sure the cameraman will pick her up now. Kieran McCarthy is, on the other hand, what we might call a veteran. Arts Council, the Talks Forum of 1996, and every Assembly election since Good Friday. He's led for us on the important topic of health through all that time, and is one of the hardest working constituency representatives, as well as forcing the Department of Finance to act on apartment law. alliance moving forward faster. So Anna, Judith, Kieran, as party leader, as your colleague in the Assembly and as a friend, may I say a sincere thank you to all of you for all you have done to take this community forward. I shouldn't, of course, forget... those others who will be standing again. So to Chris and Stuart and Trevor, thank you for your contributions, past, present and future, especially the future. And thanks also to the magnificent staff team that we have. Fewer than other parties, but more skilled, harder working, and most definitely more dedicated. So thank you to Ben, to Debbie, to Kenneth, to Lauren, to Nuala, to Sharon, to Sam, and to Scott. Thank you to all those who serve our constituents in local offices. And thank you also to those families who support those of us with elected mandates who put up with us when we go home after a day at the office. You've already been introduced earlier to some of those who'll be taking up the Alliance cause in the new Assembly. I know that they'll bring the same energy and commitment to the Assembly as their predecessors did, working to deliver on the manifesto which we'll publish next month. It's a manifesto which is full of ambition for our community, a manifesto that includes new legislation on integrated education, that takes environmental concerns seriously with a climate change bill and an independent environmental protection agency. A manifesto that places mental health at the core of the public health agenda, that deals with the legacy of the past, that extends civil marriage positions to same-sex couples, that reforms the Stormont institutions, and that takes the agenda of reform that Stephen and I have delivered in our two departments even further. There'll be plenty of detail on that next month, but of course our principles will all be based on a key principle. It's time we stop the delay, the fudge, and the waffle of other parties. It's time we moved ahead further and faster to build a united community. No other party puts that first. No other party has that commitment, and no other party can be trusted to deliver on that essential change. So let's look for a minute at how other parties tackle difficult issues, or rather how they don't. We can illustrate that by discussing the topical and very sensitive issue of abortion, which Naomi also referred to. Now, I want to be perfectly clear, as she did, this is an issue of conscience to Alliance. There are different views in the party. When I demand the right of conscience for myself, I also advocate it for those who disagree with me. I can respect those who honestly and openly express a very different view from mine. What I cannot respect are lies and subterfuge. What disgusts me is the behaviour of MLAs who promised women who'd experienced pregnancy with a fatal fetal abnormality that they would do what they could to help them, and then they broke that promise. Because women with that tragic experience were let down by members of the DUP, the UUP and the SDLP. To compound that, the DUP sought to cloud the issue by saying that their leader had asked the health minister to set up an expert group, including clinicians and legally qualified persons. Nice soundbite, if you ignore the fact that I asked the DUP health minister to share a joint consultation 2.5 years ago, and I have never yet had a reply to that request. Sadly, their subterfuge provided cover for nearly all the SDLP and the majority of Ulster unions to join the DUP in blocking modest reform. So much for the commitments they made, so much for honouring solemn promises. When Alliance had a free vote, unlike the UUP, we had a lengthy discussion in which colleagues explored the issues, explained their thoughts. In Alliance, we're capable of having sensible, mature debate about very difficult issues, facing up to them with honesty and leaving the room as friends. Conference, you should be proud of your Assembly team, because I was very proud of them that morning. Again, I stress that abortion is a conscience issue. I highlight it simply as an argument for a different kind of politics, a politics that is honest and open, A politics that delivers on promises made. A politics that gets things done. That makes things better sooner and moves us forward faster. It's with a record of that kind of politics that we will approach the election. No other party is fully committed to building a united community, and no other party can say it is as representative of this society, of every section of our community, as is Alliance. But we've other issues which strengthen our unique position. We've proved that Alliance is fiscally responsible. That's political jargon for saying that we manage money sensibly. There was much talk in the election campaign for the Dáil recently about the economic illiteracy of Gerry Adams' TD. I actually think such personal attacks are unfair. The reality is the whole of Sinn Féin is economically illiterate. The whole of Sinn Féin. Because Sinn Féin is illiterate in the Assembly about economic matters just as they are in the Dáil. The proposal that Sinn Féin made, which was backed by the SDLP and the Green Party, to protect all welfare expenditure indefinitely, was not just impossible to fund. It would also have meant maintaining expenditure on benefits, even if we put nearly everyone into work and dealt with long-term sickness issues. Paying reasonable benefits to individuals is one thing. Demanding the total bill never reduces is simply nonsense. Or we could take the planned move of the Agriculture Department headquarters to Ballykelly. Not that long ago, I heard officials from DARD tell farmers proposing to invest in their business that they would need a proper business case to get a grant of a few thousand pounds. The same department is spending tens of millions of pounds to uproot civil servants from Stormont without a business case. However, we shouldn't just criticise nationalists for that. The DUP are letting them away with the Ballykelly move, oblivious to the waste of money and the potential damage to business continuity. The same two parties, the DUP and Sinn Féin, have just forced a budget through the executive which does nothing, absolutely nothing, to prepare for the devolution and reduction of corporation tax in just 2 years' time, a reduction that will cost up to £200 million a year. It's the right policy, but how can they seriously suggest that this is realistic if they aren't yet planning for such a major change in policy? Perhaps they weren't serious. Perhaps it was all about allowing Peter Robinson to step down quickly, claiming success on corporation tax. Who cares about how the community will pay for it or maximise its potential? Party first, the economy and society and public services after that. Of course, as we've said many times before, the most important issue for attracting foreign direct investment is not actually the tax rate. The number one issue is an appropriately skilled workforce. We also know that the other four main parties think it's more important to train more teachers than we can employ, rather than scientists and engineers who will create our future wealth, doing what they do best, preserving the old ways, rather than making the progress that we all need. Our fiscal responsibility stands in stark contrast to their behaviour. But we're also a progressive party, putting our liberal values into action as part of our work every day. Just one example. Because of unionist opposition, I haven't been able to raise the minimum age of criminal responsibility from the age of 10, one of the lowest in Europe. But their backwards view won't stop us moving forward in other ways. The justice agencies are working to ensure that the tiny numbers of young children who come into contact with the justice system are dealt with as an issue of care and support, not of criminal sanction. Alliance in action, moving forward faster, wherever we can. So we will go into the Assembly election campaign with a proven record of working to unite this community, of fiscal responsibility, and of progressive social values. The same values that have driven our party for 46 years, the same values that will also be play later on this year in the referendum on the European Union. I am proud, conference, that I am a citizen of the EU. I believe that Britain's and Northern Ireland's position in Europe is for the benefit of our society and also for the benefit of others. Much of the coming argument in future weeks will be about finance. No doubt the Brexit campaigners will continue to make claims about what might be done if the UK wasn't making payments to Brussels, but there is little evidence, actually there's no evidence, that the Treasury would be as generous as Brussels is in terms of the social fund that underpins many social initiatives here, the farm subsidies that underpin our major food processing industry, and the ongoing peace programmes. And speaking about those programmes is a clear reminder of what underpins the European institutions. From the establishment of the coal and steel community in 1951 as part of Robert Schuman's plans to ensure that France and Germany never went to war again, to the ongoing support given to Northern Ireland under the leadership of Jacques Delors, to the incorporation of the countries of Central Europe in 2004, building peace in Europe has been essential to the structures of the Union. Such peace-building work deserves to be treated seriously, and a lot more seriously than little Englanders whinging about bent bananas, or far more disturbingly, Sammy Wilson's constituent indulging in xenophobic, unchallenged remarks about ethnic minorities. And on that issue, I really don't know which of the two interpretations is worse. The one in which Sammy is interpreted as agreeing with him, or the one in which he disagrees with him but doesn't have the political guts to challenge him. Either way, Arlene Foster doesn't seem prepared to act. As Justice Minister, I also see the positive benefits that Europe has brought to cooperation between the two justice systems on this island. I'm old enough to remember when it was almost impossible to get politically motivated criminal suspects extradited from the Republic to the UK, no matter how awful the crime. Nowadays, it happens almost without problem, thanks to the European arrest warrant. But the old pre-European legislation is gone. If we leave the EU, we lose the current law, and we'll be back to the 1970s with extradition from the Republic all but impossible. In fact, the behaviour of the British government nearly lost us the European arrest warrant last year, and they're putting it at risk again. We're in real danger of losing the basis of cross-border justice cooperation as a result of the internal disputes within the Tory party. I believe that David Cameron was entirely wrong to get us into this position, attempting unsuccessfully to appease the UKIP tendency in his own party. And now we have the spectacle of Theresa Villiers acting like the MP for Chipping Barnet and not take on the responsibilities of the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. Let's be blunt. Leaving the EU would be a massive backward step for the UK, including, in fact, especially for Northern Ireland. It would be a backward step we simply can't afford to take. We've had enough of stepping backwards or standing still. We need to move forward faster, but we're held back by the actions of other parties on social and financial issues, and by the two governments in a deals that they were so desperate to fix that they missed the big picture on the past. But in alliance, we know where we want to go, and we know that we need to move with a lot more determination. We need to move forward faster to a different society, a united community with sound finances and socially progressive policies. And there is only one way to get there, and that is to elect an increasing number of Alliance MLAs. We'll only do that if we get out on the doorsteps and we persuade people to vote for us. Some of you have heard me talk, maybe once or twice, of the first vote they ever cast for Eric Lubbock, the Liberal MP for Orpington, who died recently. His radio obituary recalled the story that he wore out 5 pairs of shoes on the by-election campaign trail. I think, conference, I ought to tell you that for my birthday 10 days ago, some of the family bought me a very useful present. It was a pair of walking shoes. Not for the mountains, but for canvassing. That's what they told me, and rest assured, I'm going to use them to the full on the streets of South Antrim and far beyond it this year. So let's enjoy being here today. Let's celebrate our achievements. But let's go from here and out onto the streets, determined to achieve even more, carrying the Alliance message to the doorsteps of every constituency, the message that every vote for Alliance is a vote to make things better sooner, that it's time to move forward, that it's time to end the stop-start, that it's time to move forward faster. One of Eric Lubbock's colleagues, asked to what he attributed victory in a council by-election, said, "Faith, hope and canvassing, and the greatest of these is canvassing." Well, let's not worry too much about the theological context. Let's just get canvassing, forward and faster. In a few weeks' time, as Naomi reminded us, there'll be young people entitled to vote who weren't even born on Good Friday 1998, a generation that has grown up while political leaders squabbled and while political leaders squandered their chances. The agreement is no longer a fragile young child nor even a sulky teenager. It's about to reach its majority, and it's long past time that politicians in Northern Ireland step forward and let us all move forward and faster. Conference, you have achieved much over recent years. You have achieved more than commentators expected, much more than our opponents thought possible, and you have achieved much, much more than we dared dream. You have shown that we are the only people who will move this society forward and forward faster. You have shown that we're the only party working for everyone, determined to build a united community and to transform this society. This year, we can again confound the cynics. We can outdo our opponents. We can surprise our supporters. It's time to step forward again. It's time to end negative backward politics. It's time to get Northern Ireland moving forward faster. And who will do that? We will. Let's go for it, and thank you.